This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Well, hello everybody. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And you're listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical. And today we are going to talk about failure. We're going to talk about failure. We're going to talk about not the your best life now, but the life that is real, which is sometimes not what you set out to achieve. And, you know, there's a lesson I think that we need to be teaching our kids. We talk about life skills, you know, about, like, for example, a driver's license. We've got our fifth child, his driver's license today. Can you imagine that? Five teenagers, one after another, that we've gone through this process. And, you know, we were talking about it with a friend, and a friend said, you know, that their son had to take the tests over again. And yet, you know, it wasn't that he was a failure or incompetent. It was just, yeah, something simple like on the parallel parking test, you know. And, you know, how do you deal with that? Because we all know people, and maybe sometimes we have that tendency ourselves to say, this should have been easy. I should have succeeded. I should be riding to heaven on clouds of glory over this. And instead, I'm an abject, miserable, rotten failure, and I'm never going to try anything else again.
The problem is how a lot of people are raising their kids to be that way because they're not letting their kids stretch their wings. They're not letting them take a step for fear they might fall. If we taught our kids to walk the way some people are teaching their kids to be adults, they never would walk.
No, they would crawl around forever, or they would sit on the floor and grunt. I mean, because, yeah, this is part of it. You have to be willing
for a toddler to bump themselves and to fall down on their behinds in order for them to learn to walk.
It really is part of our lives, because what's the fun? One of the most fundamental realities of our existence these days, we live in a fallen world. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The perfection that he built into the world was ruined, was wrecked, was damaged by the sin that we introduced into it. And so, you know, things are going to go wrong. And sometimes it's not even your own fault, but sometimes it is. And the question we have to ask is, well, what are we going to do with it? You know, how are we going to react to that when it happens?
Well, but we can't really teach our kids how to react unless we let them fail. Now, that sounds pretty scary. That sounds like neglect or abandonment, or we're not going to take care of our kids. But, you know, we're not talking about seven-year-olds here. We're talking about how do you let your kids try something and not succeed sometimes.
And we're not talking about letting them, say, experiment with their own medical treatment.
No.
Or, you know, make a life-changing decision, which we can look at and say, well, he's going to regret that, and just let him blow something up. But rather to say, you know, this is an appropriate decision or appropriate opportunity or appropriate, you know, aspiration for this age of child. And if it doesn't work out, we'll learn something there too. But it's not going to end the world if they don't win the spelling bee or take home the top prize for the essay contest or don't make the cheerleading team or whatever.
Okay, now you're hitting me where it hurts.
Okay.
I hate watching our kids compete.
Why?
It makes me a nervous wreck.
Why? Why is that?
I'm afraid they're going to fail. I'll be honest. I'm afraid they're going to fail. I'm afraid they're going to be hurt. I shake like a leaf when they're in the National Geographic Bee or something.
Mm-hmm.
I shake like a leaf. I'm a wreck. But I do it anyway. You know why?
And why is that?
Because it's important for our kids. It's important for them to try their strength, to get out there and make an effort, to compete, and not to be afraid of competition, not be afraid of failure, even though I'm back there in the back about to vomit.
Well, okay, there's several ways you can go with this. One of them is the recognition that there will be failures, there will be disappointments, and we need a mature, God-honoring Christian way to respond to these disappointments, to trust in God, you know, to act with grace toward those who maybe won when we didn't win. You know, those are the sportsmanship rules and things like that. I mean, those are things that we need to be teaching our kids. I think another thing, too, is the danger of perfectionism.
Yes.
And that, you know, how can that happen? Well, say you've got a child who's gifted in some way. Maybe they are academically precocious. Maybe they just have great sports skills. You know, I did well in school. I did not do well on a ball field. And I always suffered from the kids who just had it, who just, they seemed to have a natural skill. They could run, they could jump, they could throw, they could catch. And I was not that kid. And I always suffered from it because I felt, you know, feel like these people don't understand how hard it is to struggle, to aspire, to work, to achieve something, because it all seems to just happen to them naturally. And then you see later on in school, some of them kind of blow up because they don't, you know, they've never had to work for it. And then if it doesn't come naturally, they just, I won't even try it.
They quit.
They'll quit. They don't have the persistence because they've never had to struggle.
Well, and so it's important that our kids fail because they need to learn persistence.
Right.
They need to learn determination. They need to learn to do things even when it's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be difficult. If you have a really bright child who's never had a problem, then sooner or later they will hit a problem. It might be in second year calculus in college.
I can't remember who it was. I remember somebody in college said that one of their favorite authors, science fiction author, I think, used to talk about hitting your threshold.
Yes.
You know, that there's some things that you just are naturally good at, and you just roll along there achieving all of your goals. And then, you know, maybe it's when you go from arithmetic to algebra. Maybe it's when you go from algebra to geometry. Maybe it's from algebra to calculus. Maybe it was going from freshman calculus was a breeze, but then I hit differential equations and everything fell apart for me.
This is me.
Well, you know, that we all have those thresholds, and, you know, in a way it's a blessing to hit them early while you're still at home and your parents can kind of coach you through this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not rather than say, man, they went K through 12 and they never made a B. You know, they did everything right. They won all of the awards. They got every one of the gold stars was stuck onto their foreheads. And then they got off to college and they had a professor that was just didn't like them.
Yes, it happens.
And they didn't get an A double plus like they were accustomed to. And suddenly they doubt their very, you know, they have existential crisis over this.
Yes.
You know, so it's a good thing for our kids to be challenged beyond their natural abilities.
Right.
And to allow them to run a little further, perhaps, than they just naturally can do.
Yes. You know, another reason it's good to allow our kids to fail is so that they learn what it feels like to fail. Because I'm convinced I learned compassion by being tormented by other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if our kids never fail, they never learn what it feels like to fail, it can be really hard for them to put themselves in the position of those who aren't succeeding and to have compassion on them.
And, you know, you kind of look at your, well, you know, our kids are multidimensional beings. And if we're giving them a broad enough education, they're probably not going to be uniformly successful in every category.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe they're really good at math and they're not too good at the language arts. Or maybe they're good at the academics, but they're not really athletic. Or, you know, any other kind of difference like that. It's good maybe if you can look at something that they do experience and say, you know how you really had to work hard to learn that foreign language, or you've really had to learn, you know, really had to work hard and study extra to finish up that coursework you did. You know, maybe that will help you understand how other people are, you know, are struggling in their areas on the things that come easily to you.
Yes.
You know, that you can compare, find a difficulty that they've had. But I'm trying to think. I was looking for it the other day and I couldn't find it. I seem to recall one of the old writers, one of the old Puritan theologians, or one of the family life writers from 200 years ago or whatever, that was talking about how important it was that you not let your child just breeze through life, that you put obstacles in your way if necessary.
Well, because they need to learn to climb up and over obstacles. They need to learn that they're not perfect. They need to learn that perfection is really not expected of them. You know, they need to learn how to cope with life and how to cope with the changes that life brings.
Do you know what one of the first ones was for me?
What?
Okay, so I start off in school and I'm a precocious reader and everything's just humming along great. And I made straight A's in first grade and in second grade. And in third grade, oh my word, I got a B in third grade. Why? In handwriting. In handwriting? Really?
Let me guess. Because I bet you were too perfect. You were too slow.
I was too slow.
Yes.
And I'm writing there and I'm doing these perfect, beautiful copybook letters. But in third grade, you know, they started to pick up the tempo and I had to, you know, take dictation and I couldn't keep up.
Yeah.
And that was a hard thing for me because I felt like I'm having to settle for second best. These letters aren't as pretty as I like to make them, but I have to keep up. I got to go fast. And you know, that's an important thing to recognize when you're putting your emphasis on something that's really not the point.
I'll tell you the point that I really hit.
Mm-hmm.
The struggle for me was entering into the 11th grade.
Okay.
Because I had been in a medium-sized town in the South, and I had always been the big fish academically in a fairly small pond.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got selected to go to a boarding school that focused on gifted kids.
Yeah.
And I got to this boarding school, and I had the highest SAT score as a 10th grader of my entire high school.
Wow.
And then I got to the boarding school for the gifted kids.
And you find out suddenly there's lots of big fish.
There's lots of big fish, and there are people who scored way better than I did. And who just academics came way more easily to. And it shook me because a lot of my identity was not where it belongs in Jesus Christ. It was in, I'm a smart kid.
Yeah, that it's good to recognize objectively to say, hey, I'm a smart kid. But the first thing should be, I'm a believer and a disciple in Jesus Christ. And by the way, I have an academic gift, but I'm a believer first.
Yes, that my ultimate mission is to glorify God. And to glorify God with whatever talents and skills he's given me.
Yeah.
But it really shook me. It shook me badly, Hal.
Well, and I can think of some things too, you know. A midlife lesson that I learned was I had invested so much, and I think guys tend to do this, I'd invested so much of my sense of who I was in my career. Not the idea of I'm going to be the king of Wall Street or anything, but just that I'm an engineer. I'm proud to be an engineer. I want to be a very competent engineer. I am happy to be in my engineering job doing engineering. And then, you know, the company restructured or there was a bankruptcy declared or something. And I found myself, suddenly I am not there in an office that says, congratulations, Mr. Engineer. Here's your engineering work for you to engineer on today.
Yes.
And I felt like I'd lost my identity. You know, I felt like, who am I now? I'm just a loser. You know,
oh, no.
That I go to Walmart in the middle of the day, you know, to go get some groceries or something. I'm thinking, everybody that sees me sees the scarlet U for unemployed.
Oh, no.
That I'm just I'm a loser. And the answer is, no, you're not. You're a believer in Jesus Christ.
Child of God.
Child of God, father of many, beloved husband of a beloved wife. And right now you're between jobs.
Yes.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
And who knows? And guess what? Since we're now self-employed and we own our own company, I can go to Walmart anytime I want to. Yeah, 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 yeah. You know, I'm not the unemployed loser now. I'm the corporate executive of my 5-person corporation, and they all have my last name. Okay, but it's all a perspective thing, and I think I needed that shakeup in midlife to say, you know what? Your life is not defined by the bottom line of your business card.
That's right.
Your worth is not painted on a door in gold letters somewhere.
That's right.
And that's true of our kids too, to say your value to the world and to God and to your family is not that you win every race you enter.
Right.
And you know what? That's a lesson. Better to learn early than to have it like dumped on your head sometime much later.
Isn't that the truth? And you know, we're going to talk in just a few minutes about how you can create opportunities for your children to stretch their legs and to try out their wings. Mm-hmm. But in the middle here, we need to take a moment and talk about
our sponsor.
Our sponsor, SchoolhouseTeachers.com. Mm-hmm. You're going to really love it. You really need to check it out. You can join for $1 and check it out for the first month. And you're just not going to believe all the courses that are available. That's the thing. We have paid hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars mm-hmm. for courses for our kids over the years. But you can just scroll down and say, okay, I want to look at foreign languages. I click here on foreign languages. Mm-hmm. And oh, there's stuff for elementary kids?
Hands-on Hebrew. You want to learn Latvian? They have a Latvian program. I'm looking at it right here.
In high school, they can learn French or Spanish. Mm-hmm. You know, they can learn American Sign Language. And, you know, there's course after course. They're all included in your monthly subscription rate. You can get the Schoolhouse Planner as part of your monthly subscription. Mm-hmm. Tons of videos. It's just endless how much is available there for your family. Well, you need to check it out.
You need to go there. Go to schoolhouseteachers.com and check this out, because honestly, I mean, there's just a world of stuff waiting for you. And at one low price, you can take as many courses with as many students as you care to sign up, all for the same low family price. That's schoolhouseteachers.com.
It's really awesome.
So we're talking about the joy of failure, okay. The blessing of failure.
Yeah, that's so weird, Hal. Okay.
I know it is, isn't it?
Anyway, okay. So how does this look in your family? Because you know I have this attitude about people getting parents all inspired mm-hmm. and then not giving them any practical help.
That's why we talk about making biblical family life practical.
How does this look in your home? The way it looks is you give them a little bit more responsibility than you think they can handle. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, a lot of times, they're going to rise to the occasion and surprise you, and you're going to find out that your expectations were too low.
That happens a lot, and I think that we in the homeschooling community sometimes are as guilty of that as anybody, because we're trying to protect our children from bad influences, from sinful teaching out in the world, and temptations and such. And I think sometimes we end up not just protecting them, but coddling them a bit.
Yes, I especially see that with teenagers mm-hmm. and the transition to adulthood. You know, someone asked us the other day, you know, tell me what your rules are for your teens, and you know, as far as when, how late they can be out, curfew and all that. And I said, well, actually, we really don't have much, because we have a relationship with our teens.
And they have, you know what, over the years, we have had an ongoing relationship, and they have learned biblical values. We've tried our best to teach them and hold them to those values. And we've seen them live them out, so that when they're 17 or 18 or even later, you know, and they say, hey, I'm going to a dance with this friend of ours, and we'll be back sometime, it may be after midnight, you know, we can look at it and say, I know you, I observe you, I see your reputation, I see the decisions you make and the discernment that you exhibit. We don't have to say, by gum, you're going to be here by 11:45 p.m. or we're calling the police.
No, because we know that they're Christians. They're doing what's right. They're in a group of other Christians. And so as long as sin isn't happening, then it doesn't really matter to me what time they come home.
Right.
And so, but how do you get there? You're looking at your 7-year-old. You give them a chore. Mm-hmm. You give them a chore and you give them a responsibility and you give them, and you don't stand over them. You show them how to do it. Mm-hmm. But then you give it to them and expect them to do it, and then you check back. Mm-hmm. And if they didn't do it, you hold them accountable.
And I think, too, that there is value sometimes in celebrating the attempt.
Yes.
You know, I was reading a book, one of the business books I read some years ago, that was talking about a company that celebrated what they called the perfect failure. Yes. What was a perfect failure? Well, it was an honest attempt. You made a good trial at it. It didn't work out, but you learned something through the experience. Great. That's part of the process. And so to, you know, say you've got a child that's going to compete in some contest or whatever, and they don't win, well, guess what? Everybody doesn't win. Yes. The contests that are worth entering don't give participation awards, okay? And so to say, you know what? You didn't come in first. You didn't even come in. You didn't even place, but you gave it a good effort, and I'm proud of you for trying.
Right. Now, what does that look like at 11? At 11, it might look like, here's your math for the week. Do it.
Yeah.
And then next week, I check it and say, oh, my word, you cheated. You skipped problems and didn't do them and didn't tell me. Mm-hmm. You know what? I had a question about this today, Hal. Mom said, I just found out my child cheated. What do I do? Mm-hmm. Well, what you do is you sit them down, you explain to them that lying is not acceptable, mm-hmm. and telling you they've done their math when they know you meant done it all, and them saying that they've done it is misleading your mama, is deceiving her, and is wrong.
It's lying.
You tell them that they're messing up their own lives, and you make them redo it.
You give them a reasonable consequence.
And you give them more supervision. You know what? I'm sorry you couldn't handle that. You're going to have to work in here with me. Mm-hmm. And so what does that look like at 16? Looks like letting them get their driver's license.
Or like, you know, what we've done with ours too. For example, give them a credit card.
Yeah.
And give them the freedom to use it. You know, a credit card on your own account, but, you know, the freedom to use it for personal things, just that it's got to be settled up every month. And eventually they're going to overspend, and then there's natural consequences. You let them feel the pinch of being in debt. You let them feel hey, this is a mistake. Don't go down this path again.
Right.
It's a form of discipline that bears good fruit.
Well, you mentioned one of our friends. One of our friends told me last week, she said, okay, please pray. My son is going for the fourth time to try to pass the test to get his driver's license, to pass mm-hmm. the road test.
Yep.
He kept failing because they live in a tiny little town where there is no reason to ever parallel park.
I don't think they have curbs.
I don't think they have any curbs in their town. I don't think they have any town, really. But this anyway.
It's a rural, it's a very rural location.
And he was 2 inches over the line. And they failed him.
Yeah.
And so he went in for his fourth time. And you know what? He got it. But he had to have the courage to go in for a fourth time. He had to have the encouragement of his parents. They had to get over their fears. You know what? Today, when our son was taking his driver's test, you know me, I'm sitting here shaking. I'm praying for him. Oh, Father, please help him. You know, I worry to death, but I take care to keep my mouth shut and not scare my children to death.
And guess what? You know, he got it.
He
did a good job. He had practiced a lot.
Yes.
And sometimes, you know, he had done poorly, and we had to correct him, say, okay, you didn't handle that lane change right, you know?
Yes.
But that's okay. That's part of the process. And we don't, you know, we don't overburden them with a sense of failure. We just say, hey, that wasn't the best. Let's do it differently.
Let's try it again.
Let's improve it. And you know, we're going to make a positive experience out of maybe a minimal setback.
Yes.
So, you know, I think that's an important thing, you know, that if your child tries, that you recognize the effort, that if they win, you celebrate. If they try but they don't win, you say, well, that was good and I'm proud of you anyway. You don't say, winning is everything. Losers don't get cake. You know, you don't do that because then you're setting your sights higher than really you should. And you're giving your child that sense of, well, if I'm going to lose, there's a bigger penalty for losing than there is, you know, the benefit of winning. And so, you know, you got to be careful about that. You got to recognize that this is part of the whole holistic parenting and Christian discipleship thing that we do.
It's all about discipleship. You know, we are teaching our children the character that they're going to need as adults. And I fail all the time, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You've got to learn that when you fail, first, you examine yourself and you say, have I sinned?
Yeah. Is it time to apologize, time to repent and to seek forgiveness?
And if you've sinned, you've got to make it right with God. You've got to repent and ask for forgiveness. And you've got to make it right with any person you've sinned against. Mm-hmm. But then if you haven't sinned, say, okay, do I have any omission here? Something that I should have done? Should I have planned better? Should I have practiced more? Is there something I need to correct, even if it's not sin? Some change I need to make.
Is it my time management? Is my self-discipline? Is it my organization?
and then make a plan to get over it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's just things happen. It's a fallen world. Sometimes you fail because, you know, you couldn't run that fast, or you fell and hurt yourself, or someone tripped you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that maybe there's someone you need to forgive.
Mm. Well, that's true.
You know, but you deal with all of these things in a biblical context, in a Christian way, like a Christian does.
Yeah.
And we need to model this for our kids, Hal.
Yeah, because we ourselves are going to have disappointments.
And we're going to have failures.
And we're going to have failures.
I hear people trying to keep their kids from knowing about their failures. I don't think that's wise. Your kids know you're not perfect, folks.
There is such a thing as age-appropriate information. And yes, you know, it's. I think it's good to be transparent with their kids and say, I am so disappointed in what happened to me today, or I made a really stupid mistake and it cost some money, or, you know, whatever it is that you do. I mean, it's appropriate to use that not just, you know, not just as a catharsis for yourself, but to say, this is a teaching opportunity. Children, don't do that, you know. If the red light on the dashboard comes on, pay attention to it. If you don't know what it means, ask. I wish I had asked. This is why.
Yes.
You know, these kind of things. And so, you know, I think recognizing at the bottom line, none of us are perfect. God is perfect.
Right.
We know somebody who's perfect, and he stands there and he advocates for us before the Father, but we ourselves aren't there. We can't save ourselves, even by our good works and our great achievement and the gold medal that we hang up on the mantelpiece.
No, all our works are as filthy rags to the Lord.
Even our prizes.
Even our prizes. And so we come to him empty-handed, asking for forgiveness. And he is gracious enough to forgive us and to make us his children, to forgive us by what Jesus did. And in fact, to even see us through Christ's righteousness. He imputes Christ's righteousness to us.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that he's delighted in our way and what we do.
And you know what? In the ultimate schemes of things, it says that the creator of the heavens looks down on all the earth, and everybody on the earth is just like grasshoppers.
Yeah.
And you think, okay, I'm looking at this person, and I'm so jealous of them because they won and they get the prize and the gold wreath and all the rest of this. But you know what? It's like, okay, he's a different grasshopper. I'm a grasshopper. He's a grasshopper. You know, at the foot of the cross, we're all equal. And the greatest of us needs it just as badly as the worst of us. And so we can take a breath, get some perspective.
Yeah. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of opportunities to apply scripture when it comes to trying and failing.
Yeah. So look for those teaching opportunities because they are abounding.
And don't be afraid of them, because I would much rather my children fail when the consequences are small and learn how to cope with it and learn how to succeed than to fail when the consequences are life-changing. And, you know, before you know it, your kids are going to be out in the world. The consequences are going to be really big. So give them some opportunities to stand on their own 2 feet, to try out their wings now while you can rescue them and help them and help them through it.
Well, I think that about wraps up our time. So I want to go ahead and say we really appreciate you joining us here. You know, we're here every week. We try to provide lots of good edifying content every week for free. But if you'd like to come alongside and be part of this ministry, to be a sponsor, an advertiser, or just an ongoing patron, please contact us. I mean, come out to patreon.com. You can become a patron and a insider in this ministry effort of ours.
And Patreon, get some cool insider benefits too.
We do try to incentivize.
Some of our patrons get copies of every new thing we produce free.
So come to patreon.com/Hal and Melanie, or you can come to the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network and you can contact us through that page if you'd like to become a sponsor on the program, just like our friends at schoolhouseteachers.com.
Yeah, please visit our sponsors. And we so enjoy talking to you each week. When you see us at conferences, come up and tell us you listen to the podcast.
And in between times, catch us on iTunes and leave lots of gold stars and lots of good reviews, because that's really important.
Helps other people find us.
Yeah, so look, until next time, we hope you'll join us again. I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
Thanks for listening.
Bye, y'all.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's halandmelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can can find us on Facebook at Facebook/Hal and Melanie or Facebook.com/Raising Real Men. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.